Well, today we have in the studio an old friend and a colleague, somebody I get to work with frequently. He's a wonderful piano player and a composer and an educator. Steve Talaga, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Keith. I'll tell you, man, it's such a thrill to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing, I think, some older tunes, but you have some new songs, too, today.
What would you like? Sure, yeah, I'm going to play kind of a mix of things, you know, some old stuff, some of which are on recordings I've done, and some new things, too, that haven't been recorded yet.
Great. Well, what would you like to start with, then?
So I'm going to start with one called Comes the Dawn, and this one, the title, I guess, is descriptive of when I wrote it. I just got up early one morning, and the sun wasn't up yet, just kind of sat down at the piano, and this is what came out. And normally if I'm up at that time of day, it's because I'm still up from the night before, you know. But this particular day, I don't know, ended up going to bed early the night before and woke up, and this tune just kind of fell from the sky. So Comes the Dawn.
Thank you.
That's beautiful, Steve. I love the melody, but I like it right at the end there. The chords, the last few bars, you kind of let us down easy, and it just really settles.
Yeah.
Well, could you play the last few bars?
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, a lot of this, especially if I'm doing solo piano, it's way different every time. What I was kind of doing was just like a B flat chord going from a like a triad, major triad to a suspension, you know?
Yeah, right before nice that, there was a little sequence.
Let's see.
Sorry to
no sweat,
break your
man.
Tune apart here. It's so beautiful.
Let's see. That's where it ends up on that B flat, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I'm always in my writing. I'm always, well, often trying to find just something new to say. You know, and a lot of times, if I play a bunch of my tunes in a row, sometimes they all sound kind of the same to me. But I think over the long haul, there's a lot of variety. And, you know, I mean, that kind of mirrors my listening, too. I'm not really a purist by any means. You know, I end up playing a lot of jazz, which I love, of course. But my own musical tastes are much, much broader than that. And, you know, whenever I'm involved in writing something, I try to kind of go across a broad spectrum, too, you know.
Yeah, I definitely can hear that.
Oh, thanks.
What other things are you listening to now, as long as we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll tell you, man, I just love classical music, although I don't play it much, and I really don't like playing it. You know, it kind of terrifies me because all the notes have to be right. I mean, that's one of the great things about playing your own music, first of all, is that, you know, if you make a mistake, nobody knows, you know.
Right.
I really love listening to classical music and, you know, across all time periods, but especially the more modern stuff, you know. So, I mean, lately I've been listening to like some Elliot Carter and, who else was I just listening to the other day? I love Bartok. He's one of my favorites, you know. Stravinsky, certainly. You know, Ligeti, who you know, has a lot of those real atmospheric, huge orchestral pieces that are almost more sound effects than anything else, you know, and Yannis Xenakis and Stockhausen, you know, people all like right. that. But I also love listening to Baroque music and classical. And Romantic era music for me was something that never really appealed to me until the last 5 or 10 years or so. It always felt a little bit too kind of like hard on your sleeve, you know, a little too schmaltzy or whatever. But I've come to a place where I really love that too, like Mahler and, you know, Tchaikovsky and all that stuff.
All right. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's you can definitely hear some of those influences in your playing, especially when in a solo piano setting like that. It does sound European classical-ish at times.
Well, and I just love the piano music of Debussy. And man, Herbie Hancock did this one album that was released in Japan and wasn't in the United States for a long time. But the American release, at least, is called The Piano. And it's just him playing solo piano. And he starts out on the first side of the album, you know, if you have vinyl. First side is some standards that he did a lot with Miles, like My Funny Valentine and Someday My Prince Will Come is on there, and a couple others. And then on the other side, he just sort of improvises these compositions on the spot. And the thing about this record, from what I understand from reading, is that it was one of these direct-to-disc, so there was really no chance for him to go back and redo. Although on the release, there are a couple of alternate takes, so apparently he did go back and do some things. But, you know, it's one of those things where, it goes right to vinyl, and so... it's very expensive if you're going to go back and redo something. So he just played these things start to finish. And from what I understand, it's like not one cut, and then the next cut is like the whole side of the album, you know.
Wow.
Sit down and just play it from start to finish. And I've been getting a lot of inspiration from that lately, too, gone back to that album and checking it out.
I'm going to have to look for that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So how did you get started? Did you start playing classical music or how?
No. I started, you know, when I was a little kid, 3 or 4 years old, just kind of playing some stuff by ear. I took some piano lessons throughout grade school. You know, I asked to take piano lessons from my parents, you know, when I was in first grade. And I went to Catholic school, and the piano teacher there was this great musician, great teacher, this Dominican nun, Sister Marie Raymond was her name. And she was a great teacher, you know, but I was terrified of her. And it was not her, it was me. And the problem was, I was always playing, but I didn't like playing what I was supposed to for the lesson, you know, didn't like practicing that stuff. And so I'd get to the lesson, and of course it'd be a disaster, you know. And she'd get angry, I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time with the lessons, so I quit after a year and just kind of kept working on my own. I went back in third grade for a while, same nun, same problem. And then went back actually in eighth grade thinking maybe I'm old enough now, you know, but same thing. I don't know what it was I had this thing about. I just wasn't into practicing what she wanted me to. I was always more into, like by that time, by eighth grade, this movie The Sting had come out and I was really getting into Scott Joplin's ragtime music. So I bought a lot of the ragtime sheet music from him and played that stuff and was starting to get into Elton John. And so I played a lot of his music and then got into high school and started hearing jazz. CMU's jazz band came to our school, the band called Studio 12. And that was the first time I really heard live jazz. And it was a great band. And that's when I first heard that music, I thought, oh man, this is what really speaks to me, you know? So that's when I started kind of going down that jazz path and really just worked on stuff on my own. I couldn't really find a jazz piano teacher over there in Bay City where I grew up. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of them, but I didn't know of any, you know. And it really wasn't until I got to Western with, you know, back when you and I met back in the early 90s that I started studying with Steve Zagree. That was really my first chance studying jazz piano.
Wow.
And I just loved it, man. And of course, with Steve, once I got here to college, I had to, you know, had to work on some classical music, which I had done some. I played some Mozart on my own and Beethoven back in high school and took it to solo and ensemble, you know, that kind of thing. And studied some when I was at CMU back in the 80s with a guy there, James Smolko. But it wasn't until I got here, really, that I started really kind of working with somebody. You know,
yeah, well, by the time I met you, you were just a little bit ahead of me, or you were a graduate student, I believe.
Yeah. I came here to Western in 89. Well, actually, no, it was the first semester of 90, January of 90. And with sights on getting a second bachelor's degree, my first bachelor's degree from CMU was in broadcasting and journalism. So when I came here, I wanted to go to grad school and just get a master's in music, but I found that I needed to finish a few credits in music, so essentially get a second bachelor's, this time in jazz studies. And then I stayed on and got a master's in composition. Okay. So that's how that worked.
But you were already so advanced.
Oh, man. No. Well, thank you for saying that. You're kind, man. But I mean, well, you know how it is. You're always your own worst critic, I think.
Yeah.
And I still feel like, man, there's such a long way to go, so much to learn yet. But that's a beautiful thing about music. It's a lifelong endeavor. And you can never say, you know, like, there, now I know everything about that.
Right.
You know, it's a huge, huge thing, ocean.
Yeah, and you've always been like that. You've always been really humble and just searching for things and always just working on something. So I really, really admire that about you.
Well, thanks, Keith.
Yeah.
Same with you, man. I mean, absolutely.
Well, let's hear another one of your tunes.
Okay. So this is one that I recorded on the album The Shapeshifter. And of course, that was a quintet album. So again, this is going to be kind of reimagined for solo piano. This is a tune that on the recording we had, I guess it was trumpet and saxophone. Rob Smith was playing trumpet. Tom Lockwood was playing sax. And the rest of the band was Paul Keller on bass and Pete Sears on drums. And of course, me at the piano. And again, the album's Shapeshifter. And this tune is called And Then Again. And I think the title, the reason behind the title, I mean, it's going to be obvious probably when you hear it. It starts out sort of this nice, soft, kind of bossa nova sort of thing, and then moves into something that's more like kind of like a rock feel. So, you know, And Then Again. Just kind of rethinking things as you get further into the tune. Thank you. Thanks.
That is really fun.
A few little clinkers in there, you know, but what the heck? That's live radio, right?
Well, you're going for things. You're improvising.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if it were perfect, then what fun is that?
Right. Then you could say, well, I guess I'm done with that. Now I can give it up.
Yeah.
But you're always striving for that, of course, you know.
Exactly.
And some things go well, you know, and there's always room for improvement, though.
Absolutely. Well, I love the gospel feel in there. Real strong gospel thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. Some of those progressions are
very
gospel-y. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Do you listen to gospel music much, or have
you? No, I don't really, no. Okay. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I think sort of whatever gospel there is in what I do kind of comes through maybe other players. Like one of my favorite players, of course, is Keith Jarrett, and I hear a lot of sort of that gospel kind of Americana, you know, bluesy, rockabilly sort of stuff. And not in everything he does, of course, but there's a fair amount of what he does that kind of comes from that world, I think.
It's funny how maybe you haven't listened directly to it, but indirectly we get influenced by other people's.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But so that was from The Shapeshifter.
Yes.
And how many albums do you have out under your own name?
My own name? Eight.
Yeah. Eight Steve Talaga CDs.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you've been a real fixture on the Michigan jazz scene for a long time. And you play with so many other groups.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, of course, you and I have done some things together. Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
And of course, you played on at least one of my records, Contemplating the Heavens.
Contemplating.
And then actually the first CD I did, you're on there on a cut too. So yeah, Mind's Eye has done four CDs. And then with this group Evidence, led by Michael Doyle, this great sax player out of Grand Rapids, we've done, I think, three or four CDs with that group. And then the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, a big band, we've done a few CDs. And then I've played on, Steve Hilger, this guitar player, a couple of his discs, and just kind of a bunch of other things, you know,
right?
Different projects, different people. This great singer, Kathy Lamar, I did an album with her.
Yeah, I see you everywhere. I mean, you're playing with, what's the saxophone group?
Beer City Saxes. Yeah.
Beer City, referring to Grand Rapids,
right, being called Beer City, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, Kalamazoo is really the Beer City.
Well, hey, man. You can't knock bells. I mean, that's some of my favorite beer comes out of Kalamazoo.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
No, but Grand Rapids, there's some wonderful breweries up there. But yeah, I think between the two cities, we pretty much have it all covered.
Absolutely.
And thankfully, we're close. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to go to a desert island, you know, you could take just beer from Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo and be perfectly happy the rest of your life.